Blog Talk Radio.
When I went to the doctor, I said I'm feeling kind of rough. Let me break it to you, son, your shit's fucked up. I said my shit's fucked up.
Oh, man. Oh, you did it to me again.
Yeah, so here we are. The Matthew Aaron Show live from Coney.
Okay.
www.thematthewaronshow.com here at 8873 West Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, California.
Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Chippewa Falls, you're on.
And
I am here with...
And Lee Capreas, hello.
And you can find us at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. Join all our followers there. And our special guest today is someone we've had on before. He was extremely popular the last time we had him on. A lot of people loved the interview, and we just had a lot of fun with him last time. And
yeah.
He's great at telling some stories and cracking wise. We are here with the great Chicagoan, Ken Campbell.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Of course, a Detroit-based a reputable hot dog establishment, and I'm very happy to be here with you guys. It's a little rainy out, a little different look for L.A.,
so
kind of feels a little easty.
It's shitty out. I don't like it.
Yeah. That would be one of the words you could use to describe it.
And that's why I opened with... Lee and I have had a rough day. I opened with some Warren Zevon, my shit's fucked up, because your car...
My car is having problems again. I drive a... I drive a Mattel shitbox.
You do.
And
you do.
Yeah, I got
it. Except Ken and Barbie wouldn't be caught dead in there.
No, they wouldn't. No. It's really.
It's from the 80s, right? Your car.
Yeah, it is.
1880?
No, 95 Buick.
It's insured?
AAA dropped me from insurance because some other stuff.
But well, yeah.
I'm trying to get the bureaucracy in this state. I thought Chicago had some real bureaucracy.
Here we go.
But in this state, oh, mwah, très magnifique. They have a lot. Yeah, I have to come up with some money now. I think I you know what?
Are you comfortable sharing the call that you just got?
No.
No?
I'm not going to. Well, no. But basically the mechanic.
They're bad, though.
No.
Well, let's put it this way. You had a price
yes.
that you were willing to pay.
Willing to pay.
And it was fair. I thought it was a fair price.
Well, no,
Then they pitched you another price.
All right. So my car grossly failed. It's smog.
Ah, the smog, yeah.
Gross. It was deemed gross polluter. All right. So on all three counts, that's like a separate $300 thing that I got to get fixed, $350 on all
Yikes.
Three counts. All right, I can't. Yeah, I would just get another car, but I can't not have a car here because you can't fucking get anywhere.
No, you
in
can't
this
live
neighborhood.
Without a car.
I know.
How do those guys though with the driving those classic cars around here? How do they get around the smog emissions? Because there's tons of beautiful old cars out here.
I know we're right by the original Big Boy,
and
they have
Jay
the cars.
I know. Has a charity
I was gonna
for
say.
Those old cars. He will fix your smog for you.
Yeah, there should be a benefit for this car. That's what we should do. No,
if this is a way to lay low, is to ride around in a 1902 Packard.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who that is.
When he quoted me the price with labor, tax, all that stuff, I'm like, I have got to sell drugs now. That was the first thing, and like that wasn't to be funny. Like I'm like, I'm gonna have to sell
drugs.
Do
you know why I chain smoke now? Do you get it?
I get it. Yeah.
Like I had the same problem you had. We're both hand over fist with the money today.
Yeah.
Because Arizona,
I'm
a fugitive in Arizona
yeah.
until I paid the speeding ticket. And then I called them, and they doubled the speeding ticket to like $300. And so I had to go $300 in the hole today and pay that speeding ticket and spend an hour at the mail at the post office to buy one stamp.
I would kill to pay $300.
44 cents an hour.
Yeah.
Because they have machines, but you can only buy books. And in this day and age, what the fuck am I going to do with a stamp book?
Yeah.
I got to start finding pen pals and sending letters.
Yeah, right.
They're an investment, though. They always hold their value.
Do they?
They always hold their value. It's like money.
I don't know if my Honolulu stamp they gave me for 44 cents was going to go anywhere. But I should invest in some JFK stamps or
yeah,
something.
Right. At least the postage will be a compensation.
But enough about our shitty day.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not, you know, it's not much different for any of us. Like, today is a beautiful day for when you know, it's rainy and it's cold and you get a call. You don't have any auditions, so you can kind of stay home and your wife's home and you put a log in a fire and you can both sit down and argue about money.
Oh, man.
And, you know, it's the kids are off at school. It's the perfect time.
Yeah, what am I? I'm going to lose Lee one day, and I'm going to have to get a wife to argue with all the time. I'm going to have to get a wife to talk about all this bullshit with all the time.
Yeah, right.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told.
That's what, yeah.
No.
The most common advice I've gotten out here is not Matt knows to the cement. Not Matt meet anyone you can. Not Matt. No, don't get married. Don't do it.
Right.
You know, there's an old bartender in Chicago. In Berkeley, Illinois, Joe LeClaire, and it was right next to the Berkeley Police Department, and I went there from age 18 to about age 22, and there's no safer bar to go to when you're underage than one that's right next to the police department, because no one in their right mind would go to a bar when they're underage that's right next door to a police department.
No.
Shared a parking lot. You park next to the cops and walk in, but Joe LeClaire, bless his heart, God rest his soul. Every day, when we left the bar, would say these words, Kenny, don't get married.
Oh, wow. Like,
and
have a nice day, and he said it's sunny like that.
Every time.
Like,
and
between the 12 hours you're not at the bar, you're going to go get hitched. Before you get back there at 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't get married.
Yeah.
That's great.
Joe's swinging.
I wanted to talk about Ken did this short on Funny or Die called Herman Cain's Head, based off the show he did, Herman's Head.
Oh, man.
And it was really, really fucking funny. If you could check it out, go to funnierdie.com.
God.
Herman Cain's Head. It's really funny.
I love that the shelf life of Herman's Head is outlasted by the shelf life of referring to Herman's Head. Like, remember that show? Like, people keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's what Ken was talking about. He's like, it's not syndication or anything, and everyone still talks about it. They've seen it.
Yeah, it's
they
bring it up. If they were to bring it, if they were to put it back on now, there's some pretty shocking hairstyles going on there. I think people remember it more fondly than really it was.
I remember it more fondly because I had more hair back then. I wasn't doing this whole thing up front.
I had less somehow. Minoxidil, you know?
Well, you had less on the back.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly.
And I was wearing a hat. I had the foresight to wear a hat. So in the latest video, with the help of a little mascara on my temples, my daughter helped me out with that. She was on the crew. We shot this thing in 2 days. We shot it for very little money, and we got it done real fast. And, you know, the Herman Cain thing was happening really quickly. We had to get it out as fast as we could. And so I called some of these guys, Molly Hagen, who played Angel in The Brain, and Peter McKenzie, who played Herman's intellect. Rick Lawless, who played Wimp, was in Connecticut, so we weren't able to get him to do it. But we got pushed into production real fast. Next thing we knew, we were shooting. We got Gary Anthony Williams to play Herman Cain. We had Tom Kenny, SpongeBob SquarePants himself.
Tom Kenny,
The voiceover for us. He's imitating Dave Madden, who did the original. It's, you know, meet Herman Brooks. Herman has, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Tom is the go-to voiceover guy.
Well, he is, he's a good friend. And and the thing is that, and Dave Madden, of course, you know who Dave Madden was?
Yeah.
Reuben Kincaid, of course. And so that was my one mistake, was I maybe should have gone Azaria. I should have gone Azaria over Kenny. I don't know. I didn't think of Hank until it was too late, but Tom did a great job. He did it for nothing.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Yeah,
well,
he's got
that SpongeBob money sitting around. He's okay.
He is sitting on a heap of SpongeBob wampum.
I think he's doing all right. You know who else is doing all right from that SpongeBob show? Is Dauber from Coach. What's his name? Great actor.
Yes. That's Bill Fagerbakke.
Yeah. That's a great name. So,
that's great, yeah.
I did a picture with Bill Fagerbakke.
Which movie?
It's a little thing we did for the Disney Channel. It was their first Disney Channel movie. It was called Under Wraps. And it was a mummy movie, and it was the kid from Picket Fences was in it, Adam Wiley. Mm-hmm. Is that the guy from... it is Adam Wiley. No, Noah Wiley. Noah Wiley. That's the kid. Adam Wiley, he was on The Doctor Show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We totally got that right.
Anyway, it was a kid's movie, and he played a mummy. Fagerbakke was a mummy. And he did a lot of grunting and groaning.
He was the mummy.
Yeah, he was the mummy.
You know who he reminds me of? It's him and Bob Einstein.
Under Wraps.
It's him and Bob Einstein. They have that same, like, I get them confused sometimes. If Bill didn't have that, like, hair that, like, he had the Bieber before the Bieber.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if he didn't have that, I'd get them confused.
What about voice? Does he have a voice similar to Bob Einstein? Throaty.
Yeah.
Like there's a bottle brush in his throat.
You've never seen Coach in your life?
Yeah, well, I wasn't a big sitcom watcher, Matt. You know this.
Oh, God.
No. Don't. No. Come on. Don't do that.
Here we go. You're too good for the sitcom, aren't we?
Well, I really grew to hate sitcoms that I wasn't on. That's where I kind of started to draw the line. And then I started not watching films that I wasn't in. And so I'm watching a lot of sports these days.
Are you like Dustin Hoffman? Like when he has people over, you pop in a Ken Campbell picture?
I do that. And
you're like, oh, look just what happens to be on.
And hey, I try to keep people in the house. It's a talkie.
He shows the same couple scenes in Groundhog Day on loop. Just on loop. He's like, this is the whole movie.
Yeah. That's my doorbell ring. You can hear. Morning. Want to see the groundhog?
You
want to
see the funniest cinema?
See the groundhog?
Want to see the funniest cinema Santa Claus that you have seen?
Home Alone. I'm not going to take credit for starting the whole comedy, Santa holiday movie thing, or the inappropriate Santa. I was smoking, and I'm not going to say that Billy Bob Thornton has a career because of me.
Right. Well, I'll tell you something.
Maybe there's something to that.
That if they made that movie today, that Santa would be like 100 times more outlandish to the point where you wouldn't buy it. You know?
Yeah.
You know.
You really look back; it's very, very tame now.
Yeah.
You look back on it.
Yeah, but it kind of. But that's sometimes a little more charming because it's more realistic. Like,
yeah,
I can see your character in Home Alone being a real Santa.
That's true.
The bad Santa role, it's kind of like, this guy would have gotten fired before he got hired.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it went, you know, well, A Christmas Story came out before we did Home Alone, and that
right.
was, I was a fan of that movie. I don't
oh,
know
yeah.
that I was necessarily thinking about it when I did that part. I was just kind of scared shitless and just doing whatever they told me to do,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
This is my first movie, and, you know, the whole town of Winnetka showed up. And the worst part was I didn't know how to drive a stick, and I had to get that car in gear. You see at the end. Did I tell you? I might have told you the story. I have only a few stories to tell, so I retell them often. But, no, I do the whole thing all the way through, drive by the camera. They're like, that was great, but you didn't have your headlights on. We got to go back and do it again. So I'm working with Macaulay Culkin, and I'm trying to get my, you know, just trying to remember my lines. And, you know, but the whole time, I'm not even thinking about the scene. I'm thinking, I got to get that fucking car in here. I got to put it in neutral. I got to do this and that. Because I grew up on GM cars.
Why
you know?
They give you a stick car? Don't you think it'd be easier to give you an automatic? You're an actor.
Yeah, well, it was about a look thing, I guess. You know, it had
stick,
a good look.
Stick, though, is funnier than automatic.
You know,
it's a comedy transmission.
It was a crappy car, and then, you know, so... Well, when you see at the end of the scene, I can't get into the gear, and it goes, you know, dang, you know, it's one of those, and I say, oh, shit, or some of
it. Would, yeah.
I had to dub something in while I hit the dash bar.
Yeah, right.
But if you think about it, it's like, how come Santa doesn't know how to start his own car?
Yeah.
It's not like it was out of gas.
Well, he had no reindeer to do it for him.
Well, clearly can't get it in the gear.
There's a crappy car in every John Hughes production, though. There just has to be.
Yeah, that's true.
A misfiring car.
My favorite part of our last show we did with
Ken,
put my car in it. We talked with Ken about how many talking, like, heads he's been. Like, how many talking characters?
Oh, yeah, different things.
From
yeah.
Baby Bob to Herman's Head to the commercials you were doing.
Yeah.
Like, you were the king of the voiceover then.
Well, I have done a lot of... people say it's inanimate objects talking, but it's not really that. It's things that talk that shouldn't talk. And I've done quite a few of those. And
has Carl's Jr. called you yet about their new biscuits? I could see a biscuit commercial.
Yeah,
there.
No, I did do a Carl's Jr. Turkey burger commercial just recently, but
really?
It wasn't. I wasn't a talking anything. I was just I was Miss Turkey.
Oh,
and I forget the premise exactly, but it was something like
the premise.
Hello, I'm Miss Turkey. Something, I don't know. It was I forget why it was okay for me to be Miss Turkey, but I did just audition for it. I'm very excited. About it's a very big campaign that I don't think I could divulge the name of the company, but it is national. You will be seeing. I don't think it's going to be me, but it's a talking dead opossum, and it's going to be big. I can only hope to be the talking dead opossum.
That's going to take you places.
But I'm telling you, everybody. I heard people were tweeting like crazy about the auditions, and I heard a lot of big people are up for it. You know, it's going to be Clooney.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be Clooney for the talking dead opossum, or they get Tom Kenny.
Yeah, right. Tom Kenny. Yeah. Like, oh man. If I could just get past Clooney.
Isn't there a part of you that just wants to tell Tom, sit on the bench for a while?
Yeah, when I see him on auditions.
Yeah.
Tom, we got this one here, okay?
Yeah.
you know.
Hey, we'd all like to make a little money, if that's okay with you.
Georgia Lottery Memorial Day commercial for the radio, Tom? Come on, man. Come on, sit back.
It's nice he wants to work that much. I'd just be sitting on it and eating Chinese every day.
Right.
Well, the funny thing is, he's such a sweet guy. And the fact is, he's got a lot of people now. He's very successful in cartoons because he's so great.
Yeah.
But he's got also a lot of people who just want to work with SpongeBob. And they want him to call home, put on their kid's machine.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Timmy, it's me, SpongeBob. I'm working with your dad here. And he says, you know, you're one. And I've seen him oblige a million times. And he even did it for me once. So I said, it's my son's birthday.
But he did it for you.
Do me a favor. can you give me a little recording? He goes, no problem. He goes, what's his name? You know, what school is he going to? What's his name of his teachers? And he does this whole thing, you know. Hey, Richard. Now, Tom's known my son since he was born, yeah. You know. So it's a little more familiar, and it's not quite. I felt it wasn't that bad of a thing to do. But so anyway, he does this whole thing, and their whole class. I hear you're the nicest kid around, and your whole class is full of cool people like Jimmy and Martha and Joni, and he's got the names of friends, you know. He's done the whole thing.
Wow.
I take it home to my son. I go, take a listen to this, pal. And he puts it in and listens to it. And I go, take it to school tomorrow, huh? He's like, no fucking way am I taking that to school. Are you kidding me? I would never play that in school.
Oh.
I go, what? I mean, no way. I guess you can't say gay anymore.
Look, your son is still trying to get over you being in Boat Trip. He's got a lot he's got to deal with.
That's true.
And him taking SpongeBob over to school, yeah. I don't know.
It is weird, you know. We want kids like, hey, look, we know the... Because especially when they were in cartoons when they were younger. And then I did some cartoon voices.
Yeah.
And so you're like... Hey, check it out. And they're like, no, what? No, we don't want to know that, and we don't care. And they really don't.
You know what's funny is we care more than kids care.
About kid stuff.
Like, if I told kids that I know Tom Kenny or know anyone that knows Tom Kenny and he's the voice of SpongeBob, they'd tell me to go fucking jump in a lake.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Right.
Like, great, whatever.
Funny thing is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So young, though, that they're, like, cynical. Like, when they're born, like, the doctor slaps them, and it's like, whatever.
I think I would have been that way, though. If someone was like, I know who did Peter Venkman on Ghostbusters, I'd be like, and?
Yeah,
well, I remember having a link to Hollywood that I could, you know, to me it was the coolest thing ever, and it was my uncle was in the movie The Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And he was a U.S. Steel guy from Pittsburgh, you know, and he was, Mr. Scotch and, you know, Republican dude, you know, real, all that stuff. And they had, I guess, the blonde in that, what's her name, Judith O'Shea?
Judith O'Shea,
like
yeah.
Her family, he knew their family in the neighborhood. They were a rich neighbor at the country club or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they had heard she got this movie, and she was in this movie. And so they wanted her and her father's friends to come down and invest. So they had him come down, showed him around, and then got him in the movie. Said, hey, put on a hat. You'll be in the posse. And so my uncle walks by in that scene where he says, you know, well, you know, they said, are they moving fast? He goes, well, they're dead, you know. The sheriff says that. My uncle walks right by him. So at midnight movies, I would always, you know, stand up at Woodfield Mall or Oak Brook. I think maybe it was Oak Brook by then, but, you know. That's my uncle. Just having that little, like, knowing something, I've opened up enough, like I don't know, something into like that. You could actually be
that
doing
helps
something
you
like
want
that.
To do what
right.
you wanted to
sort
do.
Sort of. I mean, you know. Way.
That's the type of guy I would want helping me defend a house from hideous, bloodthirsty zombies too.
Yeah.
Scotch drinking. You know, hard GOP. What are we gonna do? You know.
The great generation, or whatever they call them.
The great.
That's they're a different breed.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I want to tell everyone at home, we're here at Coney Dog. You're 8873 West Sunset Boulevard. It's happy hour. It's 2-for-1 Coney's. Mike Binder, he's at Steve Guttenberg's Hollywood Walk of Fame thing right now.
Yeah.
What a shitty day for the weather. I didn't mean a shitty day for Hollywood, but
poor Goots.
For the weather.
Yeah,
poor Goots.
Oh.
Poor Goots.
You know, I'm kind of shocked. I thought he probably had one by now. I didn't know.
Well, you have to pay for it.
You do, right?
Yeah, it's like $7,000 and
holy
crap.
Really?
You know, either you pay for it or a group of people get together and decide to pay for it for you.
Sure.
And there's a lot of goodwill in this town for Steve Guttenberg. I'm not sure there's $7,000 worth of goodwill in this town. But he's got to have $7,000.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
but you know, maybe this is his radio one, or maybe this is his movie one, or maybe this is his TV one.
Yeah, what is up with that? That's just too much. We're going to put together the Ken Campbell Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Let's start that baby up.
We'll get that. After we raise money to pay for my car fixing,
you know,
we'll go for Ken Star.
That's more important.
Right, then we'll do your and eyes too, and when we have the $7,000, they'll still say no.
Yeah, right.
They'll be like, you know what, we're going to put you over in Compton. We're starting a new Walk of Fame down there.
Right. You'll be right in front of the check cashing place. And you...
What would be my insignia? I'm thinking like radio, TV, or film, or would it be like a talking walnut or something?
Yeah, right.
It's that dead opossum.
It would be the, oh, please. Yeah. Okay, one could only hope.
I would just love it if an opossum died on Ken Starr. That would be great.
Oh, now, what could like, be more fitting?
Yeah.
Or if Kenneth Starr died on Ken Starr.
Or not to get too dark, but when if Ken ever passes, he may never.
Well,
but if
never
he ever passes, then everyone just throws opossums on his star the day he dies.
That day, right.
Okay. All
right.
Of the three people sitting at this table, the person who's going to get the star first, I vote Ken.
Yeah.
Just little, you know, just a feeling I have.
You're ahead of the game on that one, Ken.
I'm not a flower guy.
No.
I'm not a flower guy.
No, you're exactly. Opossum guy.
I'm a dead opossum guy.
I remember when Michael Jackson died, I was living in my car out here, and everyone went to his star, but there's two Michael Jacksons that have stars, so they all went to the wrong one. And they're putting like all these pictures and candles on the wrong dead Michael Jackson.
I think you're right. There's because of the radio guy Michael Jackson,
yeah,
the English guy.
Yeah,
it's talk show.
They all went to the radio guy, and they're putting... I'm like, oh, poor guy.
You know, you'd think $7 would buy you something on the star that distinguishes you from Michael Jackson.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, I bring up that story because Ken and I and Lee, we were all talking before the show about that crazy gunman on Sunset and Vine.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad I'm not living in my car anymore.
you would have been a target instantly.
Yes.
Tell them where you were living, though.
I was, I'd move around, but when I got robbed, I was living outside Drew Barrymore's house.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was a safe place, because like a $5 million house, and Hayden Panton in it, and Rare, whatever her name is, lives next door, and I'm like, rich people. I'm safe here.
Yeah.
No. Guns, tasers to my head, all that. We've talked about this before. I don't want to bore people. But, but I remember I'd drive down Sunset and Vine every day, because they have Borders before they went out of business. I'd read every day, like a book almost. And I was just thinking the other day, man, I drive down this street every day. I'm going to get shot. I'm going to get shot now.
Yeah.
And Mike, I was hoping Mike could be here to tell this story, but Mike saw the guy before he did the shooting. He had a fake gun, his fingers. He was using his fingers outside and like pointing at cars and shooting.
Maybe he was just doing that thing like, hey, big shot. Hey,
bombs.
Yeah. But what happened with you, Ken? You went over
there,
right?
I was on my way through. I live in Glendale, and I was headed to Beverly Hills. So I was going down the 5, and at that time of day, usually I would just be on the highway, but I almost got in an accident on the highway. Some guy rear-ends a guy, and you know it's like right next to me, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to get off the highway. I'm on the highway too much. I'm going to get killed. So let's take the safe surface streets. So I come down in Los Feliz, and I'm coming down towards Hollywood. There's another guy tailgating somebody. There just seemed to be nuttiness in the air. So I come back down, and I head down Vine, take a left on Vine. And sure enough, there's police tape everywhere. There's a helicopter overhead. And I guess I just missed it by like an hour. I thought it had been sooner than that. But I saw a lot of cops down the street where the body still was. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then I realized that everything stopped all the way around. And I get on the radio that this guy has just been killed. His body's still out on the street. And, you know, I'm trying to see it on Google Maps. I tried to see if I could get it, you know.
The body?
Yeah, like a satellite view. Because I was only like 2 blocks away. I thought maybe I could see.
Ken wanted to prepare ahead so he didn't run over it as he was driving through. All right, where's this body going to be?
He's got to do a voiceover for the body.
Yeah, you know. But it was just insane that everyone always, when these things happen, we can't believe it happened here. And, you know, like, we can't believe it happened on Vine and Hollywood and Vine, where there's nuts, you know, 24/7.
Yeah, there's never crime there.
It's surprising it hasn't happened.
Ken,
you know,
when do you not turn the news on out in L.A. and hear about a shooting on Hollywood Boulevard? It's like once a week, at least, twice a week.
Yeah.
Someone's always dying over there.
I don't think of it as quite the war zone as some other areas, but certainly there's
no.
It's never been a great area.
Yeah, no. You don't want to be walking around there at 2 a.m., and I guess 2 p.m., too.
I was working in a theater that shall go unnamed, and they were doing an improv night there. Well, all the other shops next to them on Hollywood Boulevard are you know, have those big, what do you call those, like garage doors
shut.
Uh-huh. Every single bars, storefront has those bars, and they're all shut down. Who in the heck wants to go there at night, you know, for a night of theater? And you know, because there's nothing else around, and it's pretty stark.
I like our neighborhood more and more, though I'm scared over there, too. I saw a prostitute the other day at the gas station on our corner.
Uh-huh.
Big, sexy black woman, right?
Uh-huh.
And she first propositioned me, and then she propositioned the guy working at the gas station. And I didn't... I knew she was a pro because she propped me, but then I looked in the car. It was, like, real creepy because she had some huge black guy in the car with her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's her pimp. Okay. I'm going to die. Okay. I need to get out of here. Even Studio City... Nah.
But I like that she propositioned the guy working there.
She did. Like, he could just put the clothes sign on, like,
kind
in the old
work
movie.
Here.
Yeah, he just switches the sign, closed, walks out.
I never see prostitutes in
First
Hollywood.
First time I ever saw one.
I don't know why I don't see that. And when Hugh Grant had his thing go down. Like,
right.
Eddie Murphy,
where do they find him?
One I understand. I have seen more, I guess, of that type of prostitute. Yeah. That could be possible. They're on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Hugh Grant, man.
But the Hugh Grant thing was really surprising.
Marvin Hagler in a wig.
It's not like Chicago down here where there's Austin and Jackson, you know, the Jackson area. And,
right.
Yeah, Austin, where you know where the prostitutes the drugs.
But
let me
tell you
Boys
something.
Town.
There should be prostitutes on Hollywood Boulevard. If there was one place in America where there should be...
I agree.
Ladies,
not had any self-respect.
Yeah,
there
ladies of the evening walking. I'll use that Nigerian
term. Have you ever
term.
Seen Hawaii and... In Honolulu at night on the strip.
Yeah.
Right down in the,
oh, my
there
God.
There are so many. Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
Cool. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
But
it is unbelievable.
It should be like Times Square used to be.
And you know what I mean? And look, speaking of knowing the areas, I love that we have Boys Town in Chicago because it's all like a segregated area.
Yeah.
So you're like... You know
where they all are.
Yeah, you know you're in the wrong area or the right area or whatever.
Yeah.
Here, like, you can go bar hopping here and just end up in a gay bar.
Yeah.
I think that happened.
Well, West Hollywood is pretty
well
known. It's pretty well known and staked up. Well, Doggy Styles is down there, and
Doggy
Tails Swappers.
There's a couple on Santa Monica we saw when we were
whistle
driving
cleaners
through.
Yeah.
Whistle cleaners.
No, but there's a ton of them. And one of my first places in Hollywood, you've just moved here, so you can have some of the benefit of my experience, my long and storied experience.
Yeah, that's what we want.
As being
right
Chicago transplant, being here 20 years. You know, I got a lot to tell you about, but really not much. But my first place was in Hollywood, right by La Brea and Sunset.
Sure.
And Alta Vista. And it was not far because I was shooting Herman's Head down, right down Fountain. I was at Sunset Gower Studios.
Oh, okay.
So it was just a great note. But I got burglarized twice and had my TV ripped off, had all, you know...
Write this down,
burglarized. I was an idiot, yeah. This isn't the advice yet. Then I moved to West Hollywood. We moved out of there, I moved to West Hollywood. My wife wasn't there yet. But she came to visit me, and we weren't married yet, but she's like, we're in the hot tub, and she's like, this is it, you know. Hollywood, this is the whole deal. And we find out later, I moved down here on Westmont, and a guy, I lived in that place. How about it when they fished that guy's body out of the hot tub? And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, a couple months ago. I'm like thinking, that's right. Lines up right about the time we were there.
Oh.
Lines up right about the time my wife could have been going,
Did you get a deal?
The good news is they use a lot of chlorine in those things.
Yeah.
So much so, yeah. That.
But what's sad is Ken's
God.
Story about him and his wife sounds like you and me in the hot tub the other day when we were like, this is the life, Hollywood.
Yeah, right.
Our apartment
complex has the hot tub and
it's
access and all that. No one's down there at night. You can go and you can bring a little booze and, you know, sip on it. It's like nice. And then it's...
we know what to watch out for.
Yeah, right.
The place on Westmont, I had for a while and shared it with Mr. Hank Azaria, who we mentioned before.
Wow.
He had broken up with a girlfriend and moved in with me. And one night we brought back a couple girls from the Herman's Head show and a couple other cast members. And there was a point where I was trying to get things moving in a forward direction. And I had a robe on and I dropped my robe and I was completely naked, which, frankly, at any stage of my life was a sight to behold. And so I, you know, said something ridiculous and jumped in the water. And just then, like, all the lights in the back go on. And every neighbor I had was on their back porch. And they were all Russians, you know. They're all these Russians in West Hollywood. What are you doing? He is naked in hot tub. He is what? What is that? He is naked in hot tub. What did you say? He is naked in hot tub. I cannot believe.
Naked
how
in hot tub?
What he's doing?
I thought the Russians would be used
naked
to that.
In hot tub. They're going crazy.
They're the bathhouse people, though.
They're the bathhouse folks.
You must have really...
And they were outraged.
They were outraged.
It was,
they're like, that's not John Travolta.
Yeah, right.
I don't think it was, I think it was just me being naked in the hot tub that they were worried about.
Oh.
My dad,
that's
so
nice.
Those are my first couple apartments. And they do
wild
say
times when you live with Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
Well, Craig,
the only action I got was with him around.
Here comes our Craig Bierko reference. Craig Bierko's like really close with Hank. And I just hear he's a fun guy. They have a lot of fun together. Craig and Hank when they
Craig is
out.
A great guy.
Yeah.
He's a real sweetheart and
he's a little weird, but I love him. I love him more than anything.
He's a rugged individual.
He's a little different.
Do you guys what do I know? I'm sensing something I don't know, a history that I don't know.
No. Craig and I are pretty tight.
Every guest we've had on this show.
We try to get Craig Bierko's story.
Not only knows Craig, but has a ridiculous story about
him. Right. Everyone has some odd oddity story about
Craig. We've heard
these
stories so much with such frequency, and they're so consistently funny that we don't even react anymore when someone tells
us. No. Actually, if it's not odd enough, we assume you're lying.
I don't really have a good one. I mean, I know that there's a good Bierko story. It's not really a story, but, you know, him and, what was it? It's not really. Well, I wouldn't want to get this get back. Well, it's not. I didn't get back to him. He just retweeted my Herman's Head, my Herman Cain's Head thing for me.
Beautiful. What
so
a guy.
I have nothing bad to say about
him. You know what, though? You could make up a story, and it would probably make a lot of sense. Like, he slays dragons.
Next time he's out here, I'm having him sit in, and. Yeah. I'm expecting that to be an interesting experience.
Yeah, well, I have no stories of
I
Craig
love Craig.
Bierko.
I love Craig. It all started because
he's a talented guy, too. He's in the new Three Stooges movie.
Yes,
which
looks good. It does surprisingly look better than I thought
it would. Getting unknown actors and not going with major stars.
Did you watch the trailer?
No, but I saw some stills and stuff. That was a great idea.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, you know, in a trailer...
Yeah,
they're always going to show you the best stuff.
And if that
is the best stuff, I'm not sure. But I know Craig he's seemingly pretty proud of it.
Yeah.
Now, they're not completely unknown, but Will Sasso,
Sean Hayes, he's not unknown.
No.
Which one is
he? I get what you're saying. Sean Hayes is Larry.
He's Larry, okay.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying, because they had three.
And then the bad guys in it are Stephen Collins, Craig Bierko, Larry David.
Uh-huh.
And Sofia Vergara.
I have to say that I was ready to go. Oh my God! Look at this trailer.
Yeah,
I got in. I was in on the auditions for a while.
Strangely enough, for
the Larry role.
Oh wow!
No, Curly, but it was really weird to go.
I was gonna say Larry's looking different.
It was very weird to go nyuk nyuk nyuk.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. To say nyuk, 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 or, you know, Mo, Larry, the cheese, whatever.
That's very good.
And
I should have auditioned for Larry.
How far behind you are. Like, I really should have been working on this a lot. Yeah. I'm just taking in, like, I've done the research. Yeah, I did the research of an eighth grader sitting in my floor watching
Channel 32.
Was
there a part of you, though, that was kind of torn to be doing Curly Howard, though?
Well, I was never a big Stooges fan.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
But I was...
Lee and I would bow down at their temple.
Well, I was a Marx Brothers fan.
Yeah?
And I was a W.C. Fields fan.
Okay.
And I was not as much into Abbott and Costello, and I was not as much into the Stooges. But that being said, I'm old enough to have gone to movies where they had a Stooges short before the movie.
Yes.
You know? So I do have a fondness for them, but I really...
What about Laurel and Hardy?
I fell in love with the Stooges, and of course Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah,
I really fell in love with the Stooges later, actually, and started to look into their, because they did so much stuff.
Yeah.
They had, and just their history. And they shot a lot of their shorts where we shot Herman's Head on the same stage.
Oh, wow, on Fangal.
And they always claimed, our director always claimed there was a ghost from the Stooges that was, you know, making noises.
Not a good ghost.
There
no.
were all these, you know,
they
unexplained
were some troubled
things.
Men.
Ghosts poking eyes and gouging.
Well, they
I just think there's nothing cooler than, like, what they did was they would have an existing set, and Jules White or whatever their director, they would go through and look at what they had, and it would be, okay, well, it's a very fancy, home, you know, it's a mansion, so we'll have a dinner party with a pie fight, and then we'll have, you know, and they built their bits and the most of it around what existing stage they had. So, and that was pretty cool to be, you know, right there in the same place where they were doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, wow.
So, and so I really started reading a lot about them. And then they have the Stooges Fest on Thanksgiving Day out in Glendale at the Alex Theater every year. So there have been many years where my dad and me and my son, three generations of Stooge fans, and, like, Larry's sister shows up. She's still alive.
Wow.
And like, a grandson of somebody or other.
I wish I knew about it on Thanksgiving this year.
Well,
instead, I'm eating Buca di Beppo on my couch.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, it did happen. You know what I like about this Stooges movie before?
Sorry.
The two things I really like about this is, one, it is not a behind-the-scenes movie about the guys who played the Stooges.
Right.
Because that could be pretty depressing. And two, most importantly, I think, Lee, your point was they're not casting A-listers. At one point it was Benicio del Toro and Jim Carrey. And
Sean Penn? Sean Penn would not have been right about that.
We like that they casted... actors in these roles.
That's true.
Yeah.
Guys who like to get lost in these roles.
Right.
And I think that was a good move.
And it looks like fun.
Yeah.
It looks like they're having fun.
And I am the biggest, no, don't make a move, please. And like,
sure. Right.
And, but there's, like, it has a lot going for it, you know?
It could be as good as...
The Farrelly Brothers when they were on the scene, first on the scene.
Yeah.
Kingpin and Dumb and Dumber and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't mind
Dumb
Hall,
and Dumber, which
I
was,
didn't mind Hall Pass.
Dumb and Dumber,
right.
Which was the most Three Stooges-esque thing that's been made in
everyone
the last 20
I've,
years.
Everyone I've talked to out here, I had dinner with somebody who is a pretty big movie star.
Yeah.
I don't want to name any names. I don't want to drop them.
Okay.
But him and I, we were doing Dumb and Dumber scenes for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, everybody out here loves that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Loves it. Like, no one's snobby about it. Nothing. Everyone's like, it's so great. Mike loves it. Mike Binder, he loves Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Great flick.
It could be as funny as Cedric doing Ralph Cramden. We can only hope. Dumber Dumber.
Yeah.
Think about this, because it was originally going to be Jim Carrey and Chris Farley.
Ooh.
Not Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels is brilliant in it, so I really can't. It would
have been a very different movie.
I'm just telling you, just think of how different it might have been.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I like Chris, but Jeff Daniels is so good in that movie.
Well,
that
also,
it was
so weird that he
else.
Got it, because after Farley, he'd be like,
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, Daniels next on the list.
I think it was that Farley couldn't get him insured.
No. That time, they couldn't get him insured for things, and he was in and out of rehabs, and it was bad times. There's a great book, I'm going to look up the title of it, that you and I were talking about the other day.
It's The Chris Farley Show.
It is?
His brother wrote?
Right, yeah.
If I died tragically before my time, and I had a career like he did, that would be the book I would want made about me, because it's all little blurbs from people that knew him.
I'm going to tell you right now,
blurbs.
You can get it new for $2.99 and used for 18 cents on Amazon.com.
Wow.
It is definitely fucking worth 18 cents.
That's less than the 44 cent price of a steak.
It's worth the 18 cents. And look, this book, it's called The Chris Farley Show, A Biography in Three Acts. It's a great book. And
quick read, very quick.
If someone's going to write a book about you after you die, it might as well be all your friends.
Everyone, writing a little tiny bit.
Yeah, so it's a great book. I want everyone to check that out. If 18 cents, come on.
Yeah.
How do you beat that?
It's Sounds like the last royalty check I got for Herman's Head from Denmark.
Oh, what? It's in syndication overseas.
Yeah, you get residuals now from overseas. They all come at once, and it's like reading your IMDb page. And next to it, it says Armageddon, 18 cents, and then it says Sweden. And then it says, you know, Baby Bob, 12 cents, Germany, Spain, and Ireland. And then, you know, and it goes on and on like that. I'm telling you, I pulled down $41 last check I got from that from something like 12 different countries and 100 different shows.
You combine them all. It's a nice 41
bucks. I'm telling you, man, people just don't realize how sweet it is.
Yeah. Rolling in it. You get that Rolex.
And then sometimes you get the Seinfeld residual maybe for seven. Anytime
no,
seven
actually
plays.
Now Seinfeld residual do a little better.
Oh,
and then that because that's actually in syndication.
Yeah.
In the United States.
In the United States, right? So
that's
one
of my favorite episodes that you're in. That's
great
episode because I just it's hilarious that you know Ken plays a guy whose wife's pregnant. And George has this name for his kid he wants to have when he has a kid named Seven, after Mickey Mantle.
Right.
And Ken and his wife think it's such a great idea that they name their kid Seven, or they want to, and George chases them to the hospital while he's with them. And that's the funniest part, when you're in the car together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a great episode.
Soda Pop,
soda
you want to name it for him. Why don't you name it Soda Pop? No!
Soda Pop.
Leave it alone!
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that was a great show to be a part of because it was already very popular.
Yeah.
It wasn't the first season, but it was that was like six episodes.
Was Larry still around at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And, and it was just had that feel. You walk on a set like walking on the Archie Bunker's set or something.
Yeah.
Because, oh, there's the cereal, you know. Here's the door he comes through.
Superman
you know.
Action figures there.
And it was they were the nicest bunch that I had worked with. I'm telling you, and it wasn't long from Herman's Head. So I was, I told you, you know, we were 50th in the ratings, something like that.
Which
they
today
were
would be like three.
Which would be pretty good.
Yeah.
At a 19 share, yeah. But they were number one. And they had less attitude problems on their show than we had on the number 50 show. We had 9 cast members and 1,800 attitude problems,
oh,
baby.
Man.
No, I mean, I'm joking, but we actually had a great time because we're all young. We're all about the same time.
Sure.
And but they were really helping each other out with stuff, watching each other's stuff in rehearsal, really taking the time.
I mean,
you know, I thought
–
I saw Michael Richards go up to Julia Louise Dreyfus and say, you know, hey, I came up with an idea for that thing you're doing. And then you go over there and do that. And, you know,
they all really
cool.
wanted the show to be the best possible product they could
did.
Put out.
They did.
That's what you hope for. That's what you got to get when you have a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want everyone to work together and be open to ideas. And,
And Wayne Knight, who I'm often mistaken for, was on
Do you
that.
Really get that?
Oh, all the time.
Oh, no.
People, I'd be driving. I'd be in traffic and people would drive up, Newman! Newman! Woo! You know.
Really?
My parents once said, aren't you the guy from Jurassic Park?
Arthur Nedry.
You should have did that.
Dotson. We got Dotson.
This is funny, though. This dovetails back to a story I almost told you before, that there was a show on Fox at the same time Julie Brown did called The Edge.
Yeah.
And it was a sketch comedy show. And Tom Kenny and his wife, Jill Talley, were on that together. But they did a Herman's Head parody of that show on that show. And Wayne Knight played me. And and Tom Kenny played the wimpy guy in our brand.
So maybe everyone saw that Herman's Head sketch.
We just keep bringing it back to Herman's Head. Herman Cain's Head, that's on funnyordie.com.
Yeah.
Or our Live Funny or Die, which is their political site. That's
And explain the story you were telling me, Ken, about how quickly it all came together and the whole process of the thing. Because what's it like shooting a short, especially a current event? Like,
yeah.
You have to bring it together pretty quick.
Yeah, I was working with these guys on this web series called Meter Men. And it was a five-part series. And they actually won the New York Television Festival Best Directors at the fest. And I was doing a little part in there, the evil Dr. Lima for this kind of James Bond type deal they were doing.
Uh-huh.
And I knew these guys, they get stuff shot fast. And especially well, Mark Reyes guy and Scotty Weil, the two of them work together. They're really great, really funny guys. Meter Men, it's on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. You can find that. And I think it's at metermentv.com. But Meter Men on YouTube and then also Permanent Kane's Head is on YouTube, but it's also on Funny or Die.
Yeah.
But these guys got stuff. I saw them working incredibly fast, and I knew, because the Meter Men is a parody, I knew they could really help us get the kind of feel that we wanted. And what we really wanted to do was a send-up of a Whit Thomas comedy.
Yeah.
But that was the afterthought. The first idea was basically, I kept hearing Herman Cain, this and that. Herman's on a date. Herman's putting his hands where they shouldn't be.
Were you, like, following and, Herman Cain
oh,
at
yeah,
all?
Oh, yeah, you know, okay. I was following it like everybody else was, and, you know, watching the news and watching, you saw the Mike Tyson video or whatever, you know. And just having been inspired doing some different webisodes and stuff, and then having scripts that were trying to get produced and no one will produce them. So, you know, I just had this idea, well, Herman, that his dates closely resembled our episodes of our show.
Uh-huh.
And he's trying to get laid, and it's like, well, should we put our hand on our... Well, no, don't put your hand on her leg. That's much too forward. We barely know her, you know.
Yeah.
And having this argument within the head. And it just seemed to work out. When I started looking at... I looked at the press conference that Sharon Bialik did with Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
And I read through that, and it just read to me like an episode. Like, you start thinking of them arguing through all the things. And then he reached for my genitals, you know. What are you doing? You can, you know. Yes, genitals, you know. And it just, like... It just had that ring of, like, kind of weird inappropriateness. And then, but the whole thing was, we were always walking that line of sexual harassment or whatever at Herman's Head. It kind of always was a little weird. And that was the time of sexual harassment, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like the whole thing is like...
Clarence Thomas and all that.
Yeah, and the whole thing is like...
That was the sexual harassment decade, man.
Yeah.
I'm Herman Head. I'm Herman's lust, you know. Without me, he wouldn't have all the fun in life. You know, fun, food, babes, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that was all that Fox, like, hey, woo, the audience, and Married with Children, and sexual innuendo, man. Yeah. You know, and it was all driven. And so now we had a serious topic. We have a serious topic on sexual harassment. And, you know, I have a daughter. She's 13 years old. When she gets a job, I hope she doesn't feel like she has to blow a guy or you know, whatever, to get a job and to feel like that's what you do,
That's
know?
How they got jobs, working for
well,
me.
Well, that...
I mean,
you say one word about that,
okay.
I'll kill you.
Oh, sorry,
it's all right
sorry.
For guys. I'm talking about girls.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah.
But,
I'm not into that.
But,
no, I think sexual harassment is wrong.
It's terrible.
But it just struck me as, like, how weird is it, too? Like, if you coerce somebody to have sex, like, how good is it?
Yeah.
I mean... Unless they really want the job. And, you know, so it really became funny to me once I started. Then I looked at the original title sequence on YouTube. This is before I wrote the script. And I started watching. This is Herman's intellect. Without me, he wouldn't know how to read a book, like find a job. And I'm just thinking, I'm Herman Cain's intellect. Without me, he couldn't run a pizza chain. He couldn't, you know. And it's just all fitting in. And he got to my character. And instead of this leering guy who's like, we'll get babes, you know, it's like this leering guy who goes, vulnerable underlings, you know.
Yeah, right.
It was almost like, in a way, being able to apologize for all the leering all those years ago, that, you know, here we're leering for a good cause.
Yeah, right.
And because I'm not saying Herman Cain is, you know, shouldn't be elected. It's not like a political thing. I'm not saying that, although I don't believe he should be. But it's, like I said, I don't want my daughter thinking that she has to give it up. And that's what it was more about to me. It was making
a good
point.
There was a message. There was a message in this Funny or Die video.
There was a message. Absolutely.
Touch in heart.
And at the same time, we were able to kind of do, because those sitcoms, remember whenever they had a special moment?
Oh, yeah.
It was always so
the
horrible.
Mr. Belvedere.
You know?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Oh, very special.
Listen, that was...
Wesley always had either a friend with AIDS or...
Yeah.
Someone
or
got molested.
Touched.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew... Like, I didn't have a clue when Baby Bob was going, you know, down the tubes. Like, I didn't have a clue that it was a talking baby show. The way I really need to talk, but the executive producer said... We're going to have a few very special moments on this show. And, you know, you're like, what? No, no, we can't have the very
special
moments.
No, not special moments.
Not when it's a talking baby show.
No.
You can't do that. But But you know what? It also became a parody. Herman Cain's Head became a parody of a Whit Thomas show, which was kind of weird and fun. And
I mean,
down to the titles. And
They did it. And there was a Woody Allen movie, Everything You Always Want to Know About Sex, where they did that. They showed the inside of the body was getting prepared.
Sure. In fact, that was thought of when they came up with the show. You know, obviously they were thinking about Tony Randall's up there.
Tony Randall's running your head.
Yeah. I'd like to say Woody stole that from Herman's Head, but there'd be a time problem.
No, there's a time.
There's a little
timeline issue.
Yeah.
It's a tribute, you know.
Yeah, it's a tribute. There you go. There you go.
I remember one time working on a show.
I still wouldn't worry. Woody's not going to be bringing too many lawsuits against anybody.
You know what was funny?
Anybody.
Ken brought up one thing that's been on my mind for like 10 minutes now, and that is any time a woman's ass touched, Gloria Allred's around? Like, can we find someone else for the love of God?
Yeah, I mean, this woman is not real reputable either. I mean, and Gloria Allred, she's not the paragon of virtue.
Oh.
We had a frightening image I wanted to
but
use.
You can make
of her,
some drama. You can make some good drama out of it.
No.
Touching asses and hearts.
And by the way, when you're done watching Herman Cain's Head on Funny or Die,
Thank you very much.
Don't go with him.
An important Mr. Belvedere.
He might try to put his hands on him or something. What do you mean, Wes? That's what he did to me.
Poor Wesley.
Oh, boy.
Poor Wesley. You know what? We should. We were playing the. Does Ken not have headphones? Did
no,
we
he.
Give him any?
No.
Oh, they're right here.
No, yeah,
I had
headphones,
them
but I'm trapped underneath you over there.
Oh.
So if we want to just thread them back through there.
You're on the Cracker Jackly produced Matthew Aaron show. Always.
Well, you know, high concept.
Yes, I know.
There we go. Well,
the headphones always within reach of the guests.
Oh, see, there you go.
Never.
I'm better off
there. There we go.
All right.
Now we're good.
I could hear you, so
now,
I wasn't...
Now Ken can hear the when I play Important Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, play. Right.
Okay. He used to live right down over here on Fountain.
Belvedere? Christopher Hewitt?
Yeah.
You know...
I'll show you the building. It's a big, beautiful stone apartment building. Like
wow.
The something arms.
Is that when he was making Belvedere money?
Money, yeah, exactly.
Good for him. Should we play a jam and come back so I can have a smoke and then do your 2-minute movie review?
Sure.
I think Kenan...
It's not finished, though.
Oh, your 2-minute movie review?
No.
You want to maybe... Lee saw shame, and we're starting something on this show where Lee will do his 2-minute
movie
review so he never gets offered an acting gig or a writing gig by anyone ever again.
Do you only review movies that are 2 minutes long? Or
minute by minute, second by second, I go what I'm talking about. No, it's something we're thinking of starting. And
that sounds fun.
And then when we come back, we'll do that. Ken and I, we want to talk some Cubs.
Okay.
We want to talk some sports, Bears.
The Cubs have been making some major moves.
Yeah. Watch out for them.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Waiting in the weeds.
All right.
But what do you want to listen to, Lee? What do you got a taste for? Jennifer Hudson or Jennifer Lopez?
Oh, boy.
What do you got a taste? Whitney Houston?
Jennifer Hudson.
How about some Tony Bennett?
Okay.
Maybe find some Tony Bennett.
Yeah, it sounds funner through the headphones than it is.
It does. It's like a radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a radio show.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going for. We're going for the almost. I can't find my favorite Tony Bennett song, though.
Well, there's, you got Because of You.
Oh, yeah. Where's Because of You? There, I got to have that.
Or you got any of the Basie.
Here we go.
Tony Bennett with Basie.
And if I'm not back in time. Do your little review, and I'll pretend I heard it.
Okay.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say are mine forever. Yeah. near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile because of you. Love and your kiss. It's paradise to be near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile because of you. My height just average. My height just average. My weight just average. And my IQ is like you'd estimate, just average. But evidently she does not agree. Consequently, if I seem at sea, it amazes me. It simply amazes me what she sees in me. Dazzles me, dazes me, that I've learned to clip my wings and soften my ways. These are ordinary things, unworthy of praise. Yet she praises me, just knowing I'd try for her. When so many would, if they could, die for her. I'm the one. And nothing much fazes me, but to see me in her eyes, it just amazes me. Nothing much fazes me, but to see me in her eyes.
It amazes me, too. Tony Bennett. It amazes me.
You upped your demographic there in a huge way. You just went straight into Jay Leno territory.
You know what's really weird is we have a lot of older women that listen to our show.
I got a feeling that's true.
And I don't know why, because I'm pretty filthy, and especially when we get into the news, it gets filthy.
It's because you're Zero Mostel and the producers.
We're trying to make the worst show possible.
And you get money for your show.
Oh, that's what it was. I thought you were saying we were making the worst show possible to try to collect insurance.
You got that going, too. But you're the one who runs around with all the old ladies. I'm conviction.
I had a conversation at dinner a couple weeks ago where I was telling someone I wanted to sleep with Diane Keaton. Now. Like, not before now.
Yeah, I was in agreement with you.
And they told me they know Diane, and no, I do not. And they were very offended that I even brought that up because they're like, why? Why would you do that? Just don't do it.
You know,
she's gorgeous.
You try to be positive.
I don't think you're that far off. I got a thing for Penny Marshall now.
Well, okay. You know. I've seen Penny Marshall lately, and I mean, that's your cup of tea.
Our, really super gulp of tea.
By the way, Billy Bob Tim wanted to comment on our show as usual. Our angry, super Republican, maybe Tea Party friend, Billy Bob Tim. He said, the sad thing is all you idiots believe all the crap that the media prints about the people they don't like. I think he's referring to Herman Cain. Has anyone provided any proof? I can't wait to hear you idiots rip on Newton Mitt. Can't do the Obama jokes, though.
Well, you know, I mean, what I'm doing is parody. I'm protected under the parody laws of this nation, and that's all I have to say. Now, you know, I mean, there's something to be said for what he's saying. I think I touched on it earlier. I mean, this woman is not really of any great character that I know of, and Gloria Allred, for crying out loud, is the cause of the week or the day, you know. So, obviously, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Now, Herman Cain had a lot of different people coming forward, and he ended his campaign on his own. So, apparently...
Ken's being politically correct. I am not a Herman Cain fan. And when it comes to Newt Gingrich, like he did to his wife, when Newt Gingrich gets cancer, I will have an affair with his wife.
Yeah.
I will be the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these are, it's like Tim Tebow, somebody said today.
Oh.
You had, don't forget that he's against abortion and stem cell research.
Oh.
Okay?
And half the country loved that.
Let's not forget that.
Right.
So, Lee, do your little 2 minutes here so we can get back to football, me and Ken, because we could talk about Tim Tebow.
Thank you.
No, do your little shame.
No, that's good.
Do you need a theme song or something?
No,
are you all
good?
We're
going to think of something. Okay, this is a new segment.
2 minute movie review. 2 minutes. Every movie was 2 minutes. It's the 2 minute movie review.
We're putting a cartoon.
I like that.
We are putting a cartoon on the website of a talking cinema reel that Ken can voice.
I don't know if we can afford Ken.
No. There we go.
2 minute review. It is time for the 2 minute review. It's coming to you.
It's 2 minutes.
All right.
Maybe someone will play Plinko.
Lee Capreas is here with
thank
his
you.
Movie
okay,
review of Shame.
Okay. Yes, Shame. Most movies about sex are among the hardest to make. Steve McQueen's Shame is the kind of movie I think distributors must have trouble knowing when to release. Usually films that center on sex come out in the dog days of summer. Studios just don't know what to do with them. But for this release, Shame hits the theaters right around Oscar season, and it's a good thing, too. This is a movie that anyone should see if you're a fan of a devastating and very penetrating character study. Michael Fassbender stars as Brandon, an office worker in Manhattan, who apparently could qualify as a sex addict. He engages in it compulsively, joylessly. Laid against this is his sister, Sissy. Who's the opposite of him. She over-emotes. He seems to feel no emotion. This is, above all, I think, a director's film. As McQueen shoots the cold, empty streets of Manhattan, a city that doesn't care, reflected by a sequence in which Carey Mulligan as Sissy sings New York, New York in a bar. It's a very show-stopping scene. But above all, the intense and rather concentrated performance by Fassbender will likely win him an Oscar nomination. It's never hinted at what Fassbender does for a living. He works in an office, but his computer is taken from him for pornography. His depiction of sex, the depiction of sex by McQueen is often shown in detail. This movie is correctly rated NC-17. And it can't be summed up with the shallow simplifications of my modern psychology. That said, this is a very lacerating and painful portrait of a deeply disturbed psychological case. I highly recommend it. I'm doing a letter rating system for these, and I give it an A-.
Lee says go see Shane.
Yeah.
Go see it.
Is there anything that talks that shouldn't talk in the movie?
Does Carrie Mulligan's vagina talk in Ken Campbell's voice?
No, but she's listen. There, it's eventually revealed that they're brother and sister, but it doesn't reveal that for a while.
Right.
And you can't. That's not a spoiler because you can't. They play with it. They play with the notion of the
relationship.
Great.
Now I don't gotta see it.
No. It's they don't reveal everything to you. They don't reveal what caused him to be the player.
I don't know. It seems like they reveal a lot in the first 10 minutes.
No, they
don't. A lot of wieners.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a lot of sex in it, but it's definitely. I was sitting, by the way, I was sitting next to people who really should have went to see The Sitter.
Now, wait.
Because they were not mature.
Well, for our homosexual community fans, if you like wieners, do you go see it?
Yeah. There's a lot of nudity of both genders in this.
A little something for everybody.
Yeah. No, but it's interesting because what they do is there's just shots of his face during a lot of the sex scenes because he's feeling a lot of guilt and all that. It doesn't bring him any joy. And you know what? That's all you need in that scene.
So he's an emotionless person. Like, he doesn't care.
Right.
No compassion.
No compassion.
He uses people for sex. Just not a good person.
Right.
Not a good person.
Well,
I got to say that was so well thought out and written. What you wrote and everything.
Because I was babbling through half of it.
You put a lot of time and effort into it, obviously.
There we go.
Yeah.
But no.
Shoe drop now.
I'm not even making a joke at that.
No,
it really was nice, and I haven't seen the movie, but I want to now. But I just got to say, it's a shame that we instantly turned it and steered it back to vagina, talking vagina jokes. And
that's all
I'm
better
good for. You're better than
Have you heard the show?
Well, no, I have.
All I'm good for. Lee likes to bring the NPR flavor to it.
Yes.
I think he did.
No, I
like to bring the VAG flavor
listen,
to it.
I
really a good job.
I wrote, thank you. Thanks, Ken.
The FART flavor
listen,
I bring.
We're keeping the segment because I have Ken's seal of approval.
I know, because I follow Roger Ebert on Twitter. So
I do, too.
I know.
He twitters like a madman.
He does.
Well,
and
what else is
things.
He going to do?
Well, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could tweet that much.
Well,
I think people would hate me.
We're keeping this feature. It's going to class up the show.
I love how you decided we're keeping the feature you created.
Yes.
And what is the feature?
Yeah.
Lee's two-minute movie review.
Two-minute review.
Oh yeah. You know, Ken wants the theme song going here.
Two-minute movies. Gonna be reviewed. Right here with Lee on the 2-minute movie review. It's two.
Okay.
It's 2 minutes.
Did you have that? We're putting that. That's the official intro.
Well, you gotta get Nick to do some work.
Yeah. No, that needs no work.
I mean, good luck. I wish you the best in that.
Okay.
It's gonna have come between Sopranos and laying on his ass. But yes. I wish you the best.
It's really cool. I used to review movies in my school newspaper and you know,
I did too.
I'm
like a real fanatic and I go to see everything and I try to watch a lot of stuff. So
I know. He saw New Year's Eve, the midnight showing, and he came home and he is like, what a flick. It was so layered.
Yeah.
The characters were just full of texture. I couldn't take it. It was that good.
Yeah.
So New Year's Eve is Lee's movie review recommendation of the week.
Oh, everyone's getting egg on their faces today.
So I wanted to talk to Ken because we have a Chicago guy here. I want to talk about Bears football.
Oh, boy.
So, Ken, we could pretty much throw in the towel, right? It was going good for a while.
No? Wait a minute.
No?
Maybe I'm politically correct again. Tim Tebow didn't win that game. That was lost by our halfback.
Marion Barber.
Marion Barber, who I added, I have to tell you.
You added him on your team?
I am a genius. I made a genius move yesterday.
Tell me about your fantasy football, Ken.
Well, I had Matt Forte.
Yeah.
So I had to get rid of Matt Forte, but I didn't even, I dropped him completely. Picked up Marion Barber, because you know Caleb Haney is going to be throwing a lot.
No.
He's got to have to hand that ball off, and that's going to be Marion Barber. And it was, and he got tons of points for me. Now, the fumble didn't help much, but my other move was I had Billy Cundiff was my kicker. He was injured, so I had to go with a new kicker. Well, I'm thinking rarefied air. We're in the upper altitude in Denver, so I find, sure enough, he's available. Craner,
yeah.
He's available. I pick him up. Now, when he's kicking the field goal, I'm going, miss! I don't care about fantasy football! Miss the kick! Miss the... But, I mean,
you
boom.
Got a nice 59 yards there.
I win by 17. I'm on to the next thing. And I knocked off this guy.
Because you're in a suicide league, right?
It's not a suicide, but it's points and it's fantasy. And then you.
But if you lose 1 week, are you gone?
Well, no.
Okay.
But now it is. Now it's playoffs. It's Yahoo. So, yeah, now it's playoffs. So the last 4 weeks of the season, or three or four, I guess, they do, last three, they do a playoff single elimination.
Well, that's nice.
So, oh, it was brilliant.
What got you into fantasy football? Too much time on your hands?
The funny thing is, it's my first time doing it, but a friend of mine, Q Harrison Sweeney, we were doing a play together last year, and he says he's making a zombie movie out in, I don't know where the hell it is, Montana or something. But he got us together, like the director, the producers, me, a couple other the actors. None of us know each other, so we all got in this football pool, and it's not for any money. It's no dough. The winner gets Harrison's in Red Dead Redemption. So the winner gets an autographed copy of Red Dead Redemption. So
that'll go to good use for you.
Well, my boy,
your son, yeah.
My 16-year-old will enjoy that.
Yeah.
But it's all pride.
So it's like autographed or whatever, though, the Red Dead Redemption? Is he at least going to autograph it?
They're going to autograph it.
Oh, very good.
But I think, I think we're still in the hunt. I don't think we're completely eliminated. I think Caleb Haney is doing his best. He's been coming along. He was throwing some good balls.
Detroit won, though.
He can get Johnny Knox deep.
Yeah,
I know now, but we're tied with them. But they have the tiebreaker. They beat us twice. No,
we beat them once, and they beat us once.
They beat us once. And I think we're tied with somebody else in one of the other divisions.
Atlanta. Yeah.
And I've got that. Matt Ryan. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think that Julio Jones is coming back too.
Yeah.
So
Tony Gonzalez is still playing
and
well.
And then I don't know about Forte, but I heard he's in a hyperbaric chamber, which Michael Jackson used to recover in.
Right.
So as long as we can, Dr. Murray's locked up. We don't have to worry about him. keep Matt Forte away from the.
I heard he doesn't want to play, though.
Matt doesn't want to by the end?
I heard because he wants that new contract that he's not willing to risk getting injured any further.
Well, you would think that he'd want to show, look at what kind of guy I am. I'm coming back at all costs to get that new contract and to get us into the playoffs.
Right.
You can see why he's given it all this season.
The Bears have only given up 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games.
Is that right?
And they can't win.
Kansas City.
And they cannot win.
Yeah, Marion, that was tough last night. That was.
Well, they should have won that game. Barber steps out of bounds like an idiot.
Barber doesn't step out of bounds, and Jesus loses.
Yeah, Jesus loses.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? So why is it that Tim Tebow just can't be lucky and average and passable? Why does it have to be God is making him win?
Yeah. Well, because he had his big anti-abortion commercial that right after
in the
he was
Super Bowl.
A college player, before he got in the pros. And it's like, not many guys coming out of college have gone that big.
But, there's so many people in that league, especially, where they believe in God and they go to church all the time and they pray. And so why isn't God helping them win?
Yeah,
one on the Bears believes in God. That is why we lost.
No.
52 players, they're all atheists.
Hey, you know what? I want a godless football team because they will do anything to win.
Oh, well, that's the New England Patriots.
So. Yeah.
All those storefronts that have been shut down on your block, none of them were Christians. That's all it was.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine, but everyone wants to leap onto something and go identify it and say, it's this.
And I get it. He's a winner so far. He's 6-1, but he's not that good.
No, he's actually sitting on the bench of my fantasy team. With Michael Vick, which those are two right there.
Who's your starting QB?
It was Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, you're right.
But these guys, I got those two right together, and a a convicted felon dog killer, and Tim Tebow. To me, that's like perfect balance.
Yes, yes.
Just to keep him on the bench is good enough for me.
So you're thinking the Bears could still make this? They're going to beat the Seahawks this week?
Yeah. I think they beat the Seahawks.
I hope so.
That they give us a Christmas present. And they beat the Packers and their attack. Now, believe me, it's going to happen.
You are a true believer.
Yes, I am. It's at Lambeau, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
That means we're going to win.
Okay. And, I like it.
Now I see why they don't hire you for ESPN.
I predicted that they would beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That did not happen. I thought was, if you can't score, you can't win. So the Bears are going to win.
Why did all of us think Haney was going to be any good? Why did
we
think that? Because he had that one nice game.
They lost.
The game they lost, but he did do well in the game.
But in all of his games, he started off a little slow, and he's really gotten better. He started to find his targets, and I think he's a pretty comfortable.
I mean, some of those passes he was throwing yesterday were just ugly.
Yeah.
Just brutal.
Well, they were. It wasn't quite as bad as it was the week before. And these guys take years to work in, and Aaron Rodgers sat around for a while waiting and watching, and then, boom, he
came
in.
But I think Bears fans are kind of they're kind of sucking an egg after all that Jay Cutler sucks talk and he's a pussy and all this and that. And I think now we're kind of sucking an egg going, I wish we had Jay Cutler.
Well, listen, but see, that turned around a little bit because those three or four games before he got injured, he was doing really good.
Yeah,
I mean, he was on fire.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But then he got injured. Then he got injured and Facebook blew up with people hating him.
For getting injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because they thought he was making the injury more serious than it was.
Well, you mean the thumb or you mean before?
No, the knee. When he hit the knee, they're like, oh, people have played with second sprains and
he was standing on the sidelines.
Sure.
And, you know, we're a lot of people, and I think myself included. If he can stand,
and I have a friend who's just like, you know, Michael Jordan played in the playoff games. He had 102
fever. Yeah,
but that was basketball.
The worst for Jay was
You could see the passes leading up to him getting out of the game. He couldn't push off, and they were flamed up.
Well, what did him in was everyone saw him walking without a boot, without a crutch with that Kristen Cavallari broad. Everyone
like
saw
running
the pictures.
Upstairs at a Buca de Beppo. Right?
Yeah, and everyone was like, "Oh, okay, well that's nice."
Me Piace.
Yeah, he's full of it. So
that was not good. But you know what? I think that when his teammates stood behind him, I think that was a big thing because Urlacher said, "No way, this guy's okay." And then you know the way he's played this year, I don't think we can put that rap on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he made that tackle to save that touchdown. That's how he got injured.
Yeah.
He got completely crushed on that play.
Yeah. Well, he's been taking hits the last 2 years, Cutler. He's been that guy. I don't know. I like him. I know he's not the greatest person ever, but I think he's a ball player.
He's a player.
Yeah.
No question. And look how we did without him in a week.
I've seen high school quarterbacks that won't take those hits.
Yeah.
They'll just throw the ball out of bounds or they'll run for their life.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but without Cutler and Forte, you know, that didn't happen, but it almost did last night.
Yeah.
And then the other two games, we would have done better.
Yeah. And then we got another problem, Ken, the Cubs.
Well, yeah.
And the Sox. The Sox, too. It's ugly.
Well, the Sox, I don't worry about.
They're rebuilding.
My American League interests follow a team who just acquired, and I'm sorry, the
Angels Anaheim?
The great, Albert Pujols. Not that I'm a big Angels fan, but I'm more anti-Sox.
Sure.
Now, this is only because of my Sox fan friends in Chicago. I embraced both teams growing up.
Yeah, me too.
I grew up in Champaign-Urbana in my real young years, and they piped down on Channel 2, the CBS affiliate, we got WGN. We got Jack Brickhouse. We got the Cubs down there.
Right.
So I grew up, and when I moved up to Chicago area in 74, I was like, oh, yeah, the White Sox. So I didn't have any of this hate the White Sox thing from then. It was after the 1983 White Sox. In fact, I was outside selling Greg Luzinski T-shirts. We had my buddy's friend made up a logo with him dressed as Santa, and it said Miracle on 35th Street, you know? And so we were selling those out in front of the stadium, and then we ran into the ball games with the money we earned. You know, we were going to the playoffs. But somewhere in between there in 1989 was it, the next time we got back in, my Sox fan buddy started hammering me. and hammering me and hammering the Cubs and hammering the Cubs. These all Board of Trade guys, you know how they are. Those. And then, so the couple of us were Cub fans, and then the other guys were Sox fans. And I'm sorry,
it's been like that ever since.
It's been 30 years, I guess, now. So, yeah, it's been now no more White Sox.
All right, so we bring in Theo Epstein, we bring in Jed Hoyer.
And now look at the moves
yeah.
they're making.
Right,
it's really blistering pace.
Picked up David DeJesus.
And Ian Stewart.
We traded a bucket of balls for Ian Stewart.
He sounds like a Canadian rock star, Ian Stewart.
We get Ian Stewart, but you give up Tyler Colvin, and you give up what's the kid pitcher? He was a first rounder.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Right. I don't remember that. I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
Do you think
Colvin's gonna be any good though?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that suck if he goes over there and tears
it
up?
That would be the next Lou Brock.
Yeah, maybe he had one bad year, we're thinking. Because when he came on in 2010, he was on.
And Aramis Ramirez.
See ya, pal. See ya. I'm not upset about that.
Me neither. I might have been a few years ago.
Yeah.
A few years ago, he was looking really good.
Yeah, but for $14 million a year or whatever he's making, you're going to have him.
Yeah.
You're going to have him.
Listen, I have some revolutionary ideas about the Cubs that are very unpopular.
I want to hear.
I'm going to tell you a couple of things. First of all, we'll never, ever contend for anything as long as we have 100 millionaires and we're asking them to run headlong into a brick wall to get one ball for one out for one game. Soriano is going nowhere near that wall. I want every brick taken out. I want foam rubber fake bricks put in at night.
Forget
I like that. Foam
I
rubber
I don't care
brick.
Who knows, but do it at night so nobody sees it.
I know that ivy looks nice, but we're going to have to figure something out.
Fuck that ivy. It's the stupidest stuff ever. That's just a big...
Yeah.
And Lee Elia was right. It's just an open-air saloon.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of people who have bought into the idea of, I'm at the ballpark.
It's a good place to get a tan.
I'm getting drunk.
Yeah.
Who's going to sing? They're singing. Woo!
I hate that. The celebrity singing stuff.
It
Did you ever do the seven thing stretch?
I really wanted to, you know, for a while.
You know, but
it's
funny, though. The Sox fans are always ripping on Cubs fans. But Cubs fans rip on Cubs fans.
Well, no. But, I mean, the honest truth is a lot of Cubs fans don't want to hear is I think they should. I think if you've been in this big of a drought, get a new fucking ballpark.
They hate it. The players hate
it.
They
hate it.
Playing in
it's
it. They don't have a place to warm up. If you're going into the game as a pinch hitter, you don't have a place to get some swings in. And that's just like okay for players when they're on the road, because that's just Chicago three times a year.
Right.
But for 82 games or 81 games a year, and you can't warm up and you're a pinch hitter, you go in there cold every single time.
They have crappy dugouts, crappy
the field,
clubhouses.
Carroll says that the field is in terrible
condition. Well, I was on the field once. It was one of those things where they weren't playing.
Where they arrested him. And
No. No one was playing. This wasn't a game or anything. I just got to walk on the field because I knew some people that worked there. And in center field, if you go into center field, you can't see over the pitcher's mound.
Because
it like dips.
Because it's, yeah.
And I'm like, how do you see a pitch? How do you see?
Yeah.
Like, I can't see. Now, I'm short. So maybe these taller guys can see.
But they have to look over something anyway.
Yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
Weird.
It's not. I mean, I played baseball my whole life, and that is not a place I would want to play.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It has a place in all of our hearts.
Yeah.
Make a museum out of
it. Like Detroit did with their old stadium.
Get a new place. Don't fix it up, though, and play there still.
No, make it a museum.
You go out to Schaumburg. You find some land.
Yeah.
You build a stadium that is five levels of skyboxes.
Yeah.
No seats for the common man.
Yeah.
The only seats for the corporations. And then we buy every fucking World Series from now until the end of time. No more people buying and buying. No.
Wrigley,
corporations only.
Wrigley, those are the worst boxes, too.
Yeah,
I mean, you cannot. Yeah.
They're packed on and added on later. Have the girls, have the Illinois High School girls' softball championship there every year. Make it like a baseball museum.
Yeah,
I'm tired of losing.
The Tigers
my dad talked to my dad today.
Yeah.
He's 83 years old. He says, I don't have time to rebuild. I don't. And he doesn't.
Was he worried about Aramis going?
No, he's fine. Good riddance. And he likes baseball a lot. But he admitted today that it was abuse. That he took me to my first Cub game. July 3rd, 1970. It's a form of child abuse. And he's finally recognized that. And today he's told me he was sorry.
Those seats are not kind to a bigger man, too. The seats are awful to sit in.
Yeah, that's true. And but there, you know, there's
a baseball game where they try to make it as much like a football game.
Turzo, literally. I told you a story about Mikey Turzo. We went to the movies and he couldn't fit in the seat, and we literally had to like pull him out of it.
Okay.
He cannot even get stuck in a seat at Wrigley Field because he can't get all the way in it.
Wow.
He can't get all the way in. He's like, he's what, 390, 395? He can't get in it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say he's 395.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he'll tell you.
Okay.
He'll tell you. He's told me numerous times.
Well, I'm sure he's got problems with Southwest Airlines, too. That's a different thing.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, we all do. I don't take Southwest anymore. I only take Virgin.
Wow.
And Virgin doesn't go everywhere, so.
Yeah.
Well, you got. I thought you were in old ladies, but it's Virgins, too?
Yeah. Virgins and old ladies.
That's what I was.
Yes, I either want them fresh or.
The other problem with Wrigley Field.
Or on the brown side of ripe.
Yeah.
The other problem with Wrigley Field is it's such an old stadium, and then they've pushed it in by adding more seats.
Yeah.
There's not much foul territory. So a lot of stuff that would be caught in other ballparks flies out of bounds and out of play, and the pitchers have to make more pitches. I bet you look at the pitch counts, and I bet you it's a
higher on average
for Wrigley Field. And that tires them out by the end of the year.
I'm sure.
When you get to September, then they're going to fail because they've been having to pitch more pitches.
Yep.
And also, you don't have all that foul territory. Bartman never happens.
No.
And then the Cubs don't go 0 for their next 27 at-bats. And, you know, we're already talking
that
about
was
our
brutal.
Old,
I remember after that happened, I went to my room. And I literally cried.
Yeah, yeah.
Tears.
Yeah. In 84 when they lost to San Diego.
I couldn't take it anymore.
You cried?
Let me tell you why, Lee. Every year, all I cared about was the Cubs. I grew up hanging out with my grandparents because my parents worked. And I'd be in my grandpa's house every day after school or when there was no school. And all he had was WGN. He didn't have cable.
Right.
So I got addicted on the Cubs. Greg Maddux, Rick Sutcliffe, Sean Dunstan, all those guys.
Sure.
And so every year this was like my biggest deal. The Cubs are got to do it. They got to do it.
Lou Boudreaux.
And then when what's-his-face dropped the fly ball in left field in the wild card game. Or the,
Moreland? He's
Brent,
the right fielder.
Brent Baker was it? Brent.
Can't put that name together.
I forget. But
Brent Fagerbakke.
Yeah, Fagerbakke.
Fagerbakke.
I was devastated then, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to give the Cubs one more year. And the next year, they do this, they go to the playoffs, and they play the Marlins. And we have it in the bag. Wood, Pryor, Zambrano. It's done. Gift wrapped. We're great. And the Bartman thing happened, and then Gonzalez drops the friggin' ball.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. I was devastated.
You had this sinking feeling that something was, like you said about the Bears game, you couldn't watch the end of it.
No.
You knew it was over. And the thing was, right before that, it was right before the inning that Bartman thing happened, my wife, who's from Boston, turned to me, she goes, "Can you believe it? It's finally going to happen." I was like, no, it's not finally going to happen. There's still six outs to go, whatever it was. I don't want to hear about it. Sure enough,
I found the Bartman thing fascinating. Just about how it's just an ordinary guy, just with one simple act, became the most hated man in Chicago. My old roommate knows someone that knows him and says, dude is a dick.
Okay, but look, a year later, it's fascinating.
If
you're a Cubs fan. When that happens, I don't care if you're Mother Teresa, I'm going to kill you.
There's a documentary.
You know when you're sitting that close.
Yeah.
There's a time when you act and a time when you don't.
There was a documentary made about the whole thing.
I know, on ESPN.
Catching
it was
hell,
good. It was good.
It's by the director of Taxi to the Dark Side.
It was
good. 2 years ago at the Chicago Film Festival.
I don't hate the guy, but like... Oh, it just sucks that even had to happen.
He wasn't even the only guy, though, either.
No,
but
Gonzalez dropped that ball, and that really did it.
Yeah. There was another guy who reached for it, too, and kind of knocked him into it, sort of. But it is kind of odd that everybody would care that much that the guy's a human being, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I know a Cubs fan who did a story on him for ESPN, and he said when he went to – meet Bartman, he had to find him. So he found him in the parking garage of his work. And he goes, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know whether I was going to beat the shit out of him or interview him.
Wow.
Like, he's like, part of me understands and part of me doesn't hate the guy and wants to respect him and right. just get his side. And then part of me wants to punch him in the face. And
yeah,
I'm like,
I'm almost out of this maze.
Yeah. Are you amazing over there?
Yeah.
Lee's hand up for the Cubs.
Was that the Detroit the Tony Dog's kids menu?
That is the kids menu, and it's got a word search, a jumble, a scramble, and one of these things is not like the other.
Do we think?
And connect the dots.
Do we think Mike Binder made those menus?
Yeah, right.
Let's play a game. Let's try and think of the words that are in the word search at Detroit Coney Dogs. Word search in there.
You'll know if it's made for this or not if there's like Coney and Michigan.
Chili.
Great deal.
Chili, yeah.
Fagerbakken.
No, it's Fagerbakken. It's Budruckers. it's medieval times themed.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
So Mike stole these from medieval times. He went to Chicago.
Yeah.
He went to Rockford.
No,
and
it's a repli-
stole these from
it's
medieval
a replica
times.
Of the kids' menus that they used to have in medieval times.
He stole them
in 1583.
Dude, there's a medieval times right down in Anaheim. You don't
there
know
is.
That. Yeah.
We're going. The Matthew Aaron show is going to medieval times.
And it's you go to.
You need to calm down over there about the medieval
and
times.
And Portillo's is right around the corner.
Now
That's
that right. We've been talking about hitting up Lee, you and I've been saying we got to do it like every night for like. Weeks.
Yeah.
And I haven't done it yet.
It's a little far down there, and when you got a night like tonight, you're taking the 5. It's a tough sell, but
I got to get the beef.
There's a way you can also like do a 405 to the 110 to the to the 91, I think it is. Now there's a couple different ways to angle.
We were looking up a bunch of food this weekend. I was showing Lee all my research I was doing. There's this Polish joint called Polka. There's that 5 Nickel Diner.
Yeah,
Diner. Is that good?
It's okay. It's a little fancy schmancy, but it's kind
that's
of
what,
on the.
That's what we and
so
I were worried
nickel,
about.
So the nickel thing is kind of an ironic name.
But the prices are fair.
They're not bad. Any place you can get a maple bacon donut, you're doing good.
Okay.
And they it's like biscuits and gravy, but it's in like a little cute dish.
A little too cute.
A little cute. You know?
It's plated.
We went to Hoagies and Wings. This is my favorite.
Oh yeah.
Ever. So we go to Hoagies. And
Mike is not here to defend himself on
that. Isn't it a little skeevy?
Yeah, it's not only a little skeevy, but it's Mike Binder's like favorite place,
okay.
Other than Coney Dog here on 8873 West Sunset. But we go there, and they plated my food, Ken.
Oh, my.
I got a steak hoagie and 6 wings, and they cut up the sandwich and like perfectly angled it and like the 6 wings were all like dressed up
it was standing up wrapped in paper and the wings were like
I'm like you're fucking Hoagies and Wings
yeah.
You could calm down.
The walls are painted bright yellow for
calm
Christ's sake.
Down it looks like a huge hot dog in your bathroom
yeah
and I it's like a Stephen King movie in that bathroom with the long hallway
yeah. One light is flickering. Like
maybe they're aware of your podcast, man. I think they know the power that.
No, most places I go where they're aware of the podcast, they're like, "Don't talk about us.
Yeah,
do us
a favor,
right?
Please, just talk more about Portillo's.
Yeah, Portillo's. Yeah, we need to put Dick out of business. Keep talking about him.
Have you been to El Cholo? That's
no.
Now that's one of the great Mexican places.
Really,
here.
In what area?
The 20s.
In which
and
area?
It's on Western, in between Pico and Olympic.
Okay,
El Cholo.
It's Jack Nicholson's favorite.
My guy, Jack.
Yeah, it's a classic place. It's been there forever.
Be writing down the El Cholo.
I'm writing down El Cholo next to the Stella Rosa Pizzeria that was recommended to us by Louis Lombardi.
Yes, yes.
Louis Lombardi.
Yeah.
Now, did he tell you about... No,
I told
you. You go Stella Rosa together.
Did he tell you about Casabianca? Do you know that?
No.
Casabianca most resembles Elmhurst's Roberto's Pizza.
Really? I love Roberto's.
Do you remember Roberto's?
I only remember Roberto's. I go there for Italian all the time.
Well, there you go.
Great
man.
Italian.
You know what I'm talking about. That's the pizza I grew up on.
It's good. The thin crust.
This is the closest thing I can find. Now,
really?
Not as crispy as Roberto's. Not quite there, the crust. It's all right, though. It's thin. But they've got the fennel and the sausage.
Oh, I love that. Armand style.
And no, nobody
Armand,
around here.
Yeah, Armand's is good.
I like the fennel sausage.
Roberto's, though, that is the joint.
Oh, it was the best.
I should have, when you told me you went to York, I should have asked if you about Roberto's.
Oh, yeah, Roberto's was it.
And not just pizza, great Italian food at Roberto's.
Oh, that came later because they, yeah.
They were just pizza?
A storefront with pizza ovens, and they didn't even deliver.
They got the whole restaurant now.
And then, now they've got the whole other... That used to be a Schwinn store. No, it was a liquor store on the corner that they moved into there. Because I know, because we used to be able to buy underage there. It's across the street from a couple other bars from from the hood. And then there used to be a place, Sam's Place for Hot Dogs. It was right by the football field.
Okay.
First place I ever had a Chicago hot dog.
So let's talk about hot dogs. Because we're here at Coney.
We are.
I got to tell you, the winter sausage they use here, I'm not used to it back home, but it's great. It really is.
Oh, yeah?
It's a good sausage. It's good. The hot dogs here are really good.
Now, that's what kind of hot dog it is?
Yeah, they have the casing still on it. So it's one of those with the snap,
got
you
the
know?
Snap. I'm good with that.
But with the chili on top of it and then the mustard, it kind of melts the casing a little bit in your mouth. You're good to go. And it's real good here. And with the onions, I like the texture. I love the dog. But I have had now a Chicago dog at the Stand, which was it was good. The problem with – here's what I'm noticing the problem is with hot dogs out here, even at Joe Montana's place.
Yeah.
And I like Joe's place. I wouldn't say I love it. I like Joe's place. There's some things, though, where I'm like, there's
he's
a
not
touch missing.
The deep dish was passable.
The deep dish was passable. The beef's not bad. I mean, it's all – but the problem with the dogs out here – is they don't have the seasoning in the dogs.
Right.
They don't have the paprika or the garlic or, you know, and Portillo's does that.
Well, they have
they
Vienna.
Do.
Yeah.
They're using a Vienna product.
Yeah, and what they do is they just give you this big Vienna, and that's it. But you can tell there's no flavoring in it.
But it's meant to be a Chicago dog because it's Vienna without understanding.
Right, but they don't get the – I like the sausages when they get them personalized.
The hot
when
dogs
they get them
that
made.
We sold where I worked, I was a butcher over by Greektown at a little Greek place. And we had those seasoned hot dogs. And the difference in those was just so huge. And they're missing it here. And they're getting the words.
They did
song.
Have a huge one. They had the huge one at the Stand. It is huge. It's just flavorless.
The Stand is in Santa Monica. Is that where that
there's
is?
There's one in Beverly Hills or Santa Monica. There's one on Ventura in Encino, and that's the one I go to. There's three of them.
All right, okay.
They've
kind of
chained
out.
So it's good. They have every kind of sausage you can imagine.
See where I think every place misses, and it's the steamed. Poppy seed bun.
Yes.
And you haven't seen Mike Binder here at Coney has a personalized, custom made steamer.
Oh, he does.
And it's amazing. It is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
I'm excited to try this because I've only seen it on the TV. They've been on one of those shows.
Oh, they had it on the TV?
Well, they had the big war of the two places because there's one right next to each other. And they're brothers or something.
Oh, well, Leo's Coney and American Coney.
Yeah,
it was on,
exactly.
Yeah. And, I happen to think this dog's just as good, if not better, than those places.
Have you been down to the Mr. Beef in Muscle Beach?
No. I have because you were on the show last time. I told you, I have a friend who owns Mr. Beef on Harlem.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I'm somewhat friends with the guy at the Mr. Beef on Orleans.
Right. So I did not know there was one on Venice. Is it any good?
I don't know if it's still there.
No.
But let me tell you, the minute I heard it was there, I dragged the whole family because we go down.
Sure.
We go down to Washington Pier in Venice, and it's just south of the Venice Boardwalk and everything. And it's a great beach for kids and stuff. So we start walking up the boardwalk to go to Mr. Beef, and they've got a little. They actually shared, and I don't know that they're still there. They shared a counter with a guy making funnel cakes.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like funnel cakes, but then they also have Mr. Beef. There's on the menu is outside. It says, for vegetarians, try our gravy bread.
Beautiful.
That's so
great.
These guys, they're having the meeting. All right. So we're going out to California. We're going to Muscle Beach, and he's got all them crazy sprout head Californians out there. We got to figure out something to appeal to them. Hey, I got an idea. What's that? My kid didn't like meat. We used to give him gravy bread. Let's give him gravy bread. What do you mean? They just dunk it
in the au jus and give it to him.
Which is soaked in meat.
$2. Yeah.
Oh, I bet the vegetarians love that. Ma, are you on the phone, Ma?
Yeah, I am. Hi, hon.
Hi, Ma.
Aww.
You're on with Ken Campbell.
Well, hello.
Hi, Ken Campbell.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? It's the only way I get to talk to my son.
If you ever watched Herman's Head or Baby Bob or Armageddon,
probably.
She's not a big
Armageddon.
Michael. Oh, okay.
Armageddon. Well, you might have cried.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, did you cry? Oh, Groundhog Day, yeah. So
yeah,
all
right. Yeah. You can.
Did you cry when Ken died in Armageddon?
That's not pushing.
No.
She cried during the animal crackers scene.
Yeah, well, who didn't?
I was just telling Lee, my mom was on last week when we were with Ted McGinley, and I go, Ma, you think Ted's a good-looking guy, right? He's a good-looking dude. And she goes, not really. And he's sitting there listening, and I'm like...
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, yeah, you asked me if I had a crush on him is what you did.
He's all right. He's all right.
He is okay. I mean, you know.
Poor Ted. No love.
He was a nice guy. He put up with me, so, you know.
So do you actually have any questions for Ken Ma, or are you just calling to talk?
Well, I was listening to the show for a little bit. I've been having computer problems, and then I just thought I would call in because I didn't know if I'd get to talk to you later on tonight or not. Oh. And I needed to tell you that you have a package coming tomorrow or the next day.
Oh, I told you, if it's not money, I don't want it.
Oh, well, I think you'll want this, Mr. Hotshot, since you're talking about Chicago food, and it's a Christmas present for all the guys in the apartment.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know, my
here we go. Here we go. Lee's got a story.
My mom is doing the precise same thing with me, sending me food.
What is she sending you?
Bona beef, actually.
Okay. Well, this isn't bona beef.
Okay.
But, you know, make sure you don't save it under the Christmas tree.
No.
You got to open it right away.
No. No, it should come frozen, and you guys should put it in the freezer when you get it.
Is it Lou's?
Yes.
It is Lou's.
Lou's. All right.
Lou's.
Wow, your mom really loves you.
Yeah, she does. She knows what we like. Well, you know, we got to save it then for I should just have Lenny and them bring out a bunch of Lou's, too, when they come for New Year's.
Yeah.
I don't think they can bring it on the plane. But since you refused to come home for Christmas, it's for your Christmas dinner.
I didn't refuse to come home for Christmas. I'm broke.
There was an incident on a plane. I think it was American Airlines. A couple weeks ago, the guy went with a piece of dried ice and tried to cut a stewardess's...
Really?
No.
Oh. Oh, wow. I didn't hear that one.
Let you bring
we believe that.
I think it's because Alec Baldwin played Words with Friends on the airplanes, and now we can't bring Lou's.
Yeah, right. True. No more dry ice.
Now, you can bring Lou's on the airplane anyway. Wait. It would have to go underneath, and it wouldn't survive.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's out. You know, we were talking hot dogs and stuff. You don't got any questions, you know.
Do you have anything to say about meat?
Are you
my son a job?
Yeah, Ma, are you in Downers Grove still? Ken wants to know.
Hey,
what?
Are you still in Downers Grove?
Yes, I am.
Do you hang out with Emo Phillips' mom at all?
No. Don't even know her.
Chilling with the Papos?
Denise Richards' parents?
No.
Nice.
I know she went to South High School.
Those are the only two Downers Grove residents that I know of.
Well, there was Randy. Who was the wrestler, Matt? Randy Savage?
Randy Macho Man Savage?
Randy Poffo.
Yeah.
And Angelo Poffo and Lanny Poffo.
Yeah.
The Poffo.
And, can you help me with this one? Who was the female hockey player for the USA
Granato. Team? Tammy Granato.
Tammy Granato, yeah.
Angelo Poffo used to show up at Randy Savage's high school baseball games wearing his wrestling robe and boots and like no shirt and his tights, and he'd be in his robe and stuff because he'd just get it back or whatever. Because I had a friend whose dad played on Downers Grove North with him, and he told me Angelo would just show up in his robe and boots all the time.
Oh, you gotta like that.
Randy was a minor league player for the Cardinals.
Oh, is that right?
Second baseman.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and they went into the wrestling, and that may have done them in.
I did a short stint recently announcing some semi-pro wrestling down
here
at the Los Alamitos VFW.
Midgets?
Really?
No. They were just guys who were really working hard on it. And, you know, guys with the appendix scars and stuff like that.
But they
didn't have any minis. Although I did do, have you seen Lucha Vavoom?
No.
Yeah, that's a good mix of burlesque and wrestling here in town. And they do have some minis.
You got
the Chupacabras and the mini Chupacabras.
Chupacabras,
Yeah, you got four mini Chupacabras running around. You know you've got your entertainment dollar is taken care of.
You know, WWE is always looking for announcers, Ken. Maybe you should get on that.
I know. I thought I was breaking in, and I got fired, and then they disbanded.
They fired you?
They fired me. I don't
know.
Well, I was drinking too much PBR, by the way, at the VFW bar where, you know.
I didn't know people drank that anymore.
What, PBR?
Yeah.
I drink PBR.
I love PBR.
That's bad.
your brother-in-law drinks Old Style all the time.
Yeah,
I
know.
There used to be a PBR brewery in East Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went there, Second City. We did a show out there.
PBR moved out here now, I heard.
Boy, it's that town, East Peoria.
Peoria is a hellhole.
It really smells bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah,
it really, really, really smells bad.
It's a hellhole.
Peoria.
All right, Matt, I'm going to let you go finish your show. I just wanted to call in and say hi. And
love you.
I love you, too, and I will talk to you later. And, Ken, it was nice meeting you.
And you, too.
Okay. Bye, Ma.
Bye.
Okay.
She just blew you off, man.
She was very nice today because she actually cut me short.
Yeah. which I'm a big fan
of. Usually she sits on for like an hour and just asks all these questions.
No, you're just like, still there, Ma?
We had Sam Simon on, and Sam and I have become buddies, but I think Sam and I became buddies because of my mom.
Yeah.
Because Sam and her were talking about dogs for like 30 minutes. Uh-huh. 30 minutes.
Sam's an interesting guy, but it's that animal thing. He goes bananas with it, and it makes me question what kind of human being he really is. But
if you were in a fire and Sam was walking by, he might not pull you out.
He would save
unless you had
a
dog.
He'd scream at you and ask you if you had a dog with you. If you didn't, he'd be like,
Yeah, well, he's got enough money to never have to ever.
He's got a big heart.
You know what? He went back to work, though. He's working again. He's doing anger management with Charlie Sheen and Bruce Helford.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Because the guy that now manages me is one of them at that company manages Charlie Sheen or whatever.
Right.
And so I know all about anger management. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
You know what? I think that show's going to be a hit.
Yeah, well.
I think people like Charlie a lot. I like Charlie.
He's got a huge fan base. It depends on where they put it on and how they promote it and all
he
that
stuff.
He
seems like a cool dude.
Yeah.
You never hear any problems of him on set, though.
No.
It's just all off stuff.
No, and the crew, apparently the crew loved him.
Yeah, people love him, man.
Yeah, the crew loved him.
And he's a cool dude. He learns his lines. He shows up. He does his shit, and he leaves.
That's the argument I'm
imagine
having with my
that.
Son right now.
Yeah,
the dude, it doesn't. No,
you gotta go further than that.
You gotta tell him. You gotta be more like Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Is that the convo you're having with your son? Look, you're a little too Charlie Sheen. I need a little more Emilio out of you.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
A little more Marty Sheen out of you.
Yeah.
Poor Martin. Oh, I love him.
But I think that. Go ahead. Why poor Martin?
I just feel like if that was my son. Like, Martin went from, like, brown hair to white real quick.
Yeah. Like, well, he just did that. Emilio did that film, right?
His Way or whatever. Yeah. No, His Way is the Jerry Weintraub thing. What's the, what was it called? Something The Way. The Way. I think it was The Way. Emilio Estevez and Martin.
Right.
And,
yeah,
he got good reviews.
He's proud of his boy there. He's directing and doing making a big picture and everything.
And, you know, Martin did do that commercial with Charlie for Comedy Central, so maybe they're cool now.
There's worst father-son combinations. You've got your Ryan O'Neill.
Oh, we were...
And his son. Yeah, we were.
we were just talking in the car about how Angelina Jolie finally forgave John Voight for cheating on her mom. When Ryan O'Neill's doing coke with his 10-year-old daughter watching him have sex with a woman, and they're doing shows together.
Right.
And apparently he hit
get
on,
over it.
He hit on his daughter at the funeral, at Sarah's funeral.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Melvin Van Peebles put his son Mario in Sweet Sweetback, and he had a sex scene when he was 7.
You can't make the kind of stuff up, though, that goes with Tatum O'Neill and Ryan O'Neill.
Yeah.
No. Like, it's just too weird that it has to be true.
Yeah.
Or from the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh,
Kenzie Phillips and her John Phillips.
Oh, that was... when she came out on Oprah with that, that was too much. I couldn't take that either.
Didn't he write all his songs? John Sousa Phillips,
yeah.
Isn't that the guy who wrote John Phillips
Sousa? The William Tell Overture?
That's not John Phillips Sousa?
No, not the William Tell Overture,
oh,
probably
no, that's,
not.
Stars and Stripes Forever.
So is there anything else we need to talk about today? I don't think so.
I
think we're talking Coney Dogs. And and by the way, once again, congratulations to Steve Guttenberg, Hollywood
Walk
of Fame.
For a star.
Congratulations for paying for a star. And
and he's in the things that don't talk, that shouldn't talk section. I messed that up too.
You know
what
about
Steve? Talk to me about the dogs.
Steve, oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, no, Steve, I was just going to say, Steve's doing a Woody Allen play right now in New York.
No kidding.
That's what Mike told me, yeah.
Wow.
Him and Woody.
That's great.
Yeah. I didn't know Woody still does plays.
He still does, yeah.
I guess.
He's written a lot of plays, though.
No, but he's actually doing it, Woody. He's directing it.
Right.
Like, he's very involved and doing a movie right now.
Yeah.
Did you see the documentary, the two-parter on PBS a couple weeks ago?
I missed it. I heard it was really good.
Was
it really good?
I'm a huge fan of Woody, and I really wanted to see that.
I am still trying to find PBS out here. I think it's like 51 or something.
There's a 50. Bunch of them.
Yeah. And I never know which one.
Well, our TV just got up, so.
Oh, that's true, too.
We moved.
Didn't you mention the other day about trying to, was it you trying to find a good
egg roll?
Yeah.
I found a pretty good one.
Yeah?
At Genghis Cohen down the block on Fairfax and Melrose.
Genghis Cohen?
Yeah, and Mike and I went there for lunch.
It's amusing.
You know what? I like a good tortured pun more than anybody. But
what?
Yeah.
It's good. I like it. I like my Jewish
that's
Chinese
very, that's
eatery.
That's very postmodern.
Well,
you
we
can
went,
catch some cool music there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Larry Poindexter, I think, performed there, and we love Larry.
It's a well-known...
What, like jazz?
No, like acoustic, like jamming, man.
Like the folky, not it's not a rock club.
Maybe some
like...
Eagles you'll hear, but not the actual Eagles. But you'll hear Larry Poindexter doing the Eagles, and that's what's important. We had the egg rolls there are big. They're big. They're not the biggest I've ever seen, but they're big. There's not enough pork in them, but they're good.
See, this is the thing I was wondering, and I've been wondering for years. I go, is this just a Chicago thing? Or is it an East Coast thing?
They call it a New York egg roll there.
Somebody say it's a New York egg because it's really big. And I've never had them.
No,
here.
I want a big cat. Yeah, I want a big Cantonese egg roll with pork and shrimp. And
that's what it is. It's Cantonese.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is all out here. It's all this.
Fusion.
Mandarin. And,
Well, you know, they divide it up here into. They don't just say Chinese. It's Mandarin, Szechuan.
But it's weird because we go there to get the egg roll and we get shrimp and lobster sauce. And then we have to go somewhere else to get good egg foo young. And you got to go somewhere else to get good rice.
Right.
And then you have all these trendy Chinese joints out here. And then you have, like, Mike's favorite, Mr. Chow. I can't afford that. I don't know.
Wow. Chin Chin is kind of good.
Chin Chin's good.
We always drive by there. That's a good place, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Chinese. Yeah. So Genghis Cohen has a pretty decent... egg roll.
All right.
The best
I've
had out here. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Ken.
I just knew that.
I'm glad you're worried. I always post on the Facebook about my food needs. And we need to go to Casa Bianca now, though.
Casa Bianca, definitely.
I'm going to open up a place next to Genghis Cohen called Chiang Kai-Shekenstein.
Have you gone to Casa Vega?
No, I haven't.
No, I heard it's pretty good. Mexican.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. My producer, Caesar, tells me it's where Johnny Depp always goes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, you would think it looks like it's this very... It's
no, it
is.
It looks like
simple,
Chuck E. Cheese got upgraded.
Yeah.
You're right down the street from Johnny Depp's club, the Viper Room.
We used to be. Right. Didn't he sell that off?
He did.
Yeah, I think so.
I was surprised it was still even there.
But Flea, wasn't Flea part owner of that too?
That could be, right. And that's where I think
River Phoenix thing happened, And Flea was there, and
We used to go down around here, down to Dantana's on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Any good?
Well, it's fantastic, but it's any place you can order steak Carl Malden, you know you're in a good place.
Oh, man.
And they... And one of the times I was in there, it's a great sighting, in one of the little tiny booths with his knees up to here, Wilt.
Oh. Banging one of his thousands
Wilt.
Of women.
Yes. One
or
of his
10,000 or whatever.
Ten or two? I thought it was
10, I don't know. It's a crazy number. And I'm like, how do you keep track?
What is... He's
keeping score.
What is a steak Carl Malden?
Yeah, it's like pep.
Oh, we got 90 seconds.
We got 90 seconds. It's peppers and onions, and it's kind of cut up.
Okay. I did want to, once again, Herman Cain's head is on Funny or Die YouTube.
Yep.
Ken Campbell.
Ken H. Campbell on Twitter.
Ken H. Campbell on Twitter. Ken Campbell, he's got the Herman Cain's head. And then what else did we have going on today? We gave you some decent Chinese, some decent pizza.
Yeah. We're very hungry for a Portillo's beef.
We had 2 minutes. 2 minutes. We had two.
Oh, yeah. And Lee says his 2 minute review, he says, go see Shame.
I give it
A-.
Yeah.
A-, says Lee.
Yeah.
Which is better than a B+.
Yeah.
And it's NC-17.
Yes. Lots of wieners.
Do not take your children. They will not get in.
Right.
Well, thank you. No. Very self-explanatory,
but I tried.
Explained it anyways.
I couldn't.
And my mother called in, and we love my mother.
All right. But bring your children to Detroit Coney Dogs.
Yes, Detroit Coney Dogs, where I'm going to go have one in a minute.
Me too.
With some chili and onion and some mustard and the winter sausage. And congrats to Stevie Gutenberg and Mike Binder's there now, Hollywood Walk of Fame. Great. Talk to you later.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Everybody. Seacrest out.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, did you see Crest out on me?